From the shores of Puget Sound, this is Healthy Homecast. Healthy Homecast is created and operated by Healthy Painting and HealthyPainting.com. Healthy Homecast is your source for information, news, and events that focus on environmental responsibility, environmental consciousness, and eco-related products and practices. Find us on the web at www.healthyhomecast.com. And now your host, Daryl Whalen.
Hello and welcome to episode 14 of Healthy Homecast. I'm Daryl Whalen, here with our engineer, sponsor, and occasional talker, Tony Freis.
Occasional.
This week's guest is Ann Dorn from Seattle Natural Awakenings magazine. We will be right back for our interview right after Tony tells us about some upcoming events in and around our area. Take it away, Tony. It's time for some healthy news, information, and events that are happening throughout the Puget Sound area. Sponsored by PigeonPointPC.com.
Alrighty, and welcome to the news. Now that summer's here, we got plenty of outdoor events to share with you. The first one coming up is the Geology of Downtown Buildings Walk. This is taking place Thursday, July 21st, 2011 from 6:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. in downtown Seattle. David Williams, author and geologist, will lead a walk through Seattle to look at building stones of all sorts and point out geologic history about these. The tour is sponsored by Northwest Science Writers Association. For more information, visit www.nwscience.org. And next up is the Duwamish River Cruise. This is taking place July 27th, 2011 at the Duwamish River, departing from Harbor Island Marina, located at 1001 Southwest Klickitat Way under the West Seattle Bridge. This is taking place from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Join Woodland Park Zoo and the Duwamish River Cleanup Coalition for a boat tour of the Duwamish River. Make community connections beyond your backyard to the greater Duwamish ecosystem. You'll learn about the cultural and natural history of the river, pollution hotspots, and habitat restoration opportunities with the Duwamish River Cleanup Coalition. We'll also search for wildlife such as eagles, ospreys, seals, and otters. Cost is $25 per person, 13 and up, $10 for kids 3 to 12, and kids 2 and under are free. For more information, visit www.zoo.org. And last but not least is the big one. This is the Harvest Fair 2011. This is taking place September 10th, 2011, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Meridian Park behind the Good Shepherd Center, located at 4649 Sunnyside Avenue North in Seattle. Participate in a fun celebration of the harvest season when fresh local food is gloriously abundant. I cannot speak today. Learn about how you might grow more of your own food. Support our local food system or get involved in the community. Participate in fun, unique, and educational activities for all ages. Eat tasty food and lounge in the grass while listening to local bands with friends and family. For more information, contact Chris Iberell at 206-633-0451 or visit seattletilth.com. That is the news, and now back to the podcast.
Please feel free to send any news, information, and events that focus on environmental consciousness and responsibility, as well as health, happiness, safety, and well-being, to info@healthyhomecast.com. And now, back to Healthy Homecast. Thank you very much, and you will find links to those events posted on healthyhomecast.com, along with episode 14. On our last episode, we heard from Stefan and Drew of Encompass Cottage Company, And on our next show, we are scheduled to hear from Scott Rudolph from Giving Corps. Right now, it is time to meet our guest, Ann Dorn. Ann is the owner and publisher of Seattle Natural Awakenings, a new healthy living, healthy planet publication that covers local and regional news in the arenas of sustainable living, healthy and local food, natural health, fitness, and personal growth. So I met Ann several months ago when we had maybe one episode of this podcast up and found that we were both focused on natural businesses. Since that time, Ann has put out several issues of the magazine and also facilitates a natural business networking group that meets monthly and is open to anyone, which I have attended once when we were not recording a podcast, and it's just been switched to Tuesday evenings, which is tomorrow, but this episode will come up afterwards, but it comes out every month, and I encourage people to check that out. So we're here to find out what these things are, why they matter, and what this means to all of us. You can find out how to contact our guest, along with some great links that are related to this show, posted along with this episode. So let's get rolling. So number one, hello and welcome. Please start by introducing yourself. Tell us briefly what you do. Give some history on how, when, and why this came about.
Thank you, Daryl. Thank you so much for the invitation.
You're quite welcome.
To be here. And it's fun to see the podcast evolve. And can't believe episode 14. That's quite the accomplishment. So I'm Anne, like you introduced me, and I'm the owner and publisher of Natural Awakenings magazine. It's a local magazine. It's actually part of a nationwide franchise, and that allows us to offer some fantastic national-level content. I spend a lot of time looking for local news stories as well. So it's really the best of all worlds for people here in Seattle and the East Side. Our readers tend to be people who are interested in natural foods and healthy living. They tend to be concerned about the environment and willing to take steps to protect it and their families.
Great. Is there anyone or anything that influenced this direction earlier in your life?
I've looked for an opportunity to get into publishing for quite a while. In college, I was studying journalism, and I really enjoyed the writing and the community involvement part of journalism. But I found that there was something lacking in my idea to become a journalist, which is that I really didn't have the ability to provide a platform for the community. I would just forever be reporting on one little piece of it. And I kind of wanted a bigger picture. So that led me to consider doing my own publication. And I just kept an eye out for years. I actually took a job in advertising sales to prepare for having my own publication. And finally, when my daughter was born, I kind of went through a personal transformation of my own where healthy living and a healthy home became really, really important to me on a personal level. So the timing was just right. We were living in Portland, and I found a copy of Natural Awakenings down there and learned about the franchise, the value that offers for local readers to have interviews with national lifestyle celebrities combined with what's happening in your own neighborhood on the environmental and healthy lifestyle front. So I investigated the franchise more, and it turned out to be a wonderful, wonderful fit. I found out there's nothing like it in Seattle. There is not really a platform right now for helping people connect on these issues and learn where to go forward and to have a lot of resources come together in a free monthly magazine. And I'm just really delighted to provide that to the community.
Great. So what about some early inspiration or influence for the subject and topic matter of your magazine?
I would say that my daughter is really the catalyst that just created this interest in me for natural lifestyles, healthy living. And it really honestly wasn't on my radar before I was pregnant with her. A lot of things weren't on my radar. Mm-hmm. Having her really changed my world. And so when I plan my content and I think about what I want the magazine to be for Seattle, maybe an issue from now, but also 5 issues from now, 5 years from now, what I want it to do for the community. I'm thinking of the world that I want to create for my daughter and the world I want her to have when she grows up and she inherits everything that we're doing now.
Great. So we're a resource for everyone from the very informed to the lesser. So please detail what you do as the owner and the publisher and your role in all that.
Well, I wear a lot of hats. I do a lot of different things, and I love all of them. I'm really privileged to work with my husband, who also does a lot of other things. So I'm the salesperson. I'm the publisher in the sense that I oversee the magazine from scheduling the news articles, looking for calendar events, working with people in the community to find out what's going on, and then making that all come together and become a reality. One of my favorite parts of this job, this business, is that I have the ability to really network among my clients, and I really enjoy doing that. So it gives me the opportunity to introduce clients to each other and to people in the community and create connections where there weren't any before. And I see that kind of on a micro level as being what Natural Awakenings is all about. On a macro level, it's important to create these connections. My goal is to grow the green business community here in Seattle and grow awareness and drive demand so that we will all work together to create a better world. And the people who I work with on a daily basis are, probably the most wonderful business owners in the entire area. They're mission driven. They're committed to an eco-friendly communities, and they have a lot of wonderful, passionate ideas. They're not just, clocking in and clocking out. They're a really, really wonderful group of people, no matter whether they're from the green building industry all the way to natural health and everything in between. So I, on a daily basis, that's a big part of my job, is just interacting with these people who I absolutely love and helping them connect with them, each other and resources.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later about the networking group meetup that you're involved in, that I've participated in, because that seems to be a great resource on a face-to-face social level for the types of people that are involved in this and the people that we're wanting to reach out to and ultimately have them spread out and be the warriors and of this type of thing. So what is something that people do not know or understand about what you do that you would like to make clear?
I think anytime you introduce a new publication, there's a kind of this period of getting to know each other on a large level. So there's me bringing this magazine out to the community, and now the community collectively has to decide what to do with it. And so what I would like people to know is that it's their magazine. And yes, I hold a vision, but I do that in service to the community, and that the magazine is here to support business. It's here to support people's own personal quests for healthier lifestyles and more environmentally friendly living. And that I would like people to know that we're very responsive. And by we, I mean myself and my husband, who's my business partner and the other half of the equation, the co-owner of Natural Awakenings. We would love feedback. It's going to take time. Like any relationship, you get to know someone and you get closer and more connected and you learn more about that person and become more comfortable in sharing things. And we're at the stage where we're just introducing ourselves. I'm really looking forward to the day when people in the community can raise issues and say, hey, this needs to be covered. This is important. We did that recently a little bit with an article on genetically modified food. And that came about because we tapped into kind of an ongoing grassroots level effort here in Seattle to label genetically modified organisms. I was really pleased to be able to learn about that and cover it and give it the push and the support that it needs. There just really isn't a place for people who are involved in that kind of activity to go and have, I think, somebody in the press who's responsive and really eager to work with them and to get the word out at this level. So that's what I want people to know, is that it's a community publication. We hold the vision, but the readers are the reason we're doing this.
So can you give us some idea about how many other places in the country that this type of thing is going on?
Sure. There are currently I believe 87 editions of Natural Awakenings publishing nationwide. There's several more slated to start publishing this fall and beyond. And that's up from one single edition in 1994 that was franchised a couple years later. Natural Awakenings really saw a lot of growth in those early years on the East Coast. A lot of folks living on the West Coast are less familiar with the magazine. If you travel back east, it's very difficult to find, you know, a town or a city without one. They're very, very common. It's the largest free healthy lifestyle magazine in the world, with a readership of 3.7 million in the United States and several editions in other countries as well.
Great. It's kind of interesting because it started out on the East Coast, and we're from where I grew up back east, and you kind of think of the West Coast where a lot of the stuff starts, but the truth is that's not necessarily the case. There's a lot of great environmental and all that stuff going on in the Midwest and everything as well. Of course, we know that there's other similar or something that somebody might assume is a similar type of magazine that I've seen in other places around town. How does what you do and what you offer, how does that differ from the others, and what makes you and your magazine so special?
We are, to my knowledge, the only free monthly local magazine. So there are a number of wonderful other publications out there, and in a huge degree, I think of them as our cousins. There's a lot of room here for multiple ways for people to promote themselves and to reach out to the community with news. But I think that the primary way that we differ is that we have a strong focus on local news, and we are developing that. There's not a great place to send your press releases right now if you are a green, eco-friendly, you know, healthy kind of business or practice. We also offer a lot of different ways to reach out. So we have a calendar section that's currently free, which means anybody can submit events that, you know, fall within our guidelines. And on a space available basis, we'll publish those. So that's a wonderful way to get the word out to local people interested in connecting in the community. And we do the news briefs as well. I do a lot of a little longer profile articles that we call community spotlights. And that's a great chance for people just to get a little more in-depth look at what's going on. We profiled Pathway Design and Construction, great green local business with some cutting-edge healthy home practices for our first issue. We got some amazing feedback, and people were just, you know, really, really excited to learn about a green company and the passion that comes through that company. And that's what's fun for me, is to write about that kind of passion. We recently did in our May issue right now, we have a community spotlight about the Sustainable Flower Growers Association, and it's a place for florists to come and buy local blossoms. It'll change the industry eventually in Seattle, because people will find out, consumers will learn that they can ask their florist to get local flowers. There's now a great place to go do that. And in our third issue, we're profiling farmers markets and going into a little bit of detail about, you know, how long have they been around in Seattle and the East Side, and where did they start. So people will be able to learn a little bit more than maybe they would otherwise, just walking down to the corner and picking up their veggies on a Saturday. So that's kind of what I think we bring to the community, is different ways for people to get the word out, and different ways for people to take a closer look at very, very local issues.
Great. Yeah, that's all fantastic. Of course, we had Pathway on here not too long ago. Doug, he's an amazing guy. For those that might be listening outside of the area, is there a national like website or something? Is it like naturalawakenings.com or
naturalawakeningsmag.com? And gotcha. you can find your local edition and see if your city has an edition of Natural Awakenings.
Great. And we'll make sure that we put that on the site when we put up this episode. So please tell us what your personal mission statement is, or that of what you do, and what that means to the world in general.
My personal mission is to expand and grow the businesses of people who are making a difference in the world for good. I see I love working with mission-driven business owners. I love working with people who have passion, who aren't just clocking in and out. And there is a huge number of people in the fields that I encounter in my job as publisher. A lot of people who want to make the world a better place. I'm really pleased and proud when I'm able to support them by bringing them additional business through the magazine. I'm fulfilling my mission when I let people know about things like the sustainable flower growing co-op. So they can go to their local florist and educate their florist about, you know, great new places to buy flowers. That's making a real difference. I'm not the one making the difference. I'm supporting the people who are. So I view my mission is kind of as an intermediary to expand and increase the missions of the people around me who are really doing wonderful things in the world.
Great. That sounds fantastic. So you mentioned meeting your guidelines with the calendar. Is there some type of a litmus test that you use to make sure that a client is going to best represent the intention of you and your endeavor, as well the needs of the reader when you sign them on to be a part of your program or your family that you're creating with your magazine?
Absolutely. And the first litmus test is my personal feelings about the business and industry. I'm looking for businesses that are making the world a better place. I'm not looking for perfection. I understand that, you know, businesses are at various stages of transition to being sustainable in some cases, and that everybody starts somewhere. So I'm looking for an underlying commitment, and in a lot of cases, a personal commitment. It has to go a little bit beyond business. It also depends on the industry. So, for example, natural health practitioners are, you know, almost always, without exception, going to be a group of people that I consider wonderful advertisers, and that I'm happy and proud to represent them and get the word out. There are other industries where I find myself being a little more careful. Usually I'll do a little bit of research before meeting with a prospective client. I'll have some questions for them. Most of the time, people never know they're being interviewed. But there have been a few occasions where I've walked away from businesses I didn't feel comfortable representing, because I'm aware that taking on a client is a commitment, and a commitment to increasing their business. I like to tell my clients, I don't sell ad packages for 1 year. I sell them for 20 years. I want my clients to stay with me and grow. Obviously, that's only possible if a couple things happen, one being that their ad produces returns and they get results. And that depends on their integrity in part. And so I'm looking for people who have a high integrity level, because I know that their ad's going to do well, that I'm going to be successful in representing them, and that they're going to make the world a better place.
Great. Well, I'm all on board with that. In fact, my business, I do the same thing. And, you know, it's also a direct, it's going to have a lot of a bearing on when other people look at your magazine and for their decision making, if they see that, you know, the decisions that you're making aren't consistent with what they think that you're all about and the kind of decisions that they're wanting to make for their company.
Well, and it's not always easy because, like, yeah. I said, there some businesses are in different stages of transition.
Yeah.
And I don't like to place myself necessarily as judge to say, oh, you're taking baby steps toward green, but you're not ready. You're not there yet. I don't like to cast myself as judge, rather as guide. If I sense that a business is really eager to move in that direction and they're open to maybe some resources and some connections and a little bit of advice, and I feel like their commitment is real and it's not a marketing ploy, so to speak, and then I look at what they're actually doing, the actual impact of their product, their service, and I feel like that is making the world a better place and it's a better alternative to what's out there in the industry, then we probably have a match. But really, this is kind of a gray area. There's judgment calls, and I will make mistakes. I will learn and grow as I go, but I don't claim to be perfect. There's a lot of times where I turn to, you know, people for advice and resources, and I think this is a community effort as well as just me. So I make no claims of perfection, but just that we are committed to trying and increasingly moving in that direction.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. So what are the biggest mistakes people make in print marketing?
Well, a lot of the folks I work with a huge number of people who are small business owners, sometimes medium-sized businesses, passionate about their products or services. In a lot of cases, they get caught up in actually providing the service or creating the product, and they're busy folks. They don't have a lot of time to sit down and read a stack of textbooks on, you know, classic marketing techniques. So in a lot of cases, people are throwing money in various directions. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. When it comes to print advertising, there's a couple key things that I like to advise my clients to take a close look at. Just a few things can save a lot of wasted time and money. One is find yourself a good basic checklist for ads. A lot of people sit down to design an ad thinking that they know what the consumer wants to hear, but they forget that they're a little bit biased. They've been working in their industry for so long, they may know what's important, but consumers aren't driven by, you know, what the shiny new features of whatever they're offering. Consumers are driven by their pain. And so it's really important when you sit down to write an ad that you're thinking about what pain the consumer wants to solve. The ad should be benefit oriented. I really discourage people from doing what I call laundry lists of features. So a checklist essentially of the various things that they offer. Do that and then say why. Why do you offer this? You do massage for health and better night's rest, for example. Now we have a benefit as opposed to just massage. I also discourage people from doing their business name as the headline in the ad, and that's a very, very common mistake. It's very natural, I think, when you sit down, you look at a blank piece of paper to think, oh, my business name, that's what's important to me, that's what goes there. Well, that's not what's important to the consumer. What's important to the consumer is how you can solve their pain. So a strong headline needs to be benefit-oriented. It needs to speak to that pain and, hint at, in most cases, promise a solution. And the last thing that I just really recommend is a call to action in your advertising. The simplest way to do this is just the words call today. And we see that a lot on billboards and, you know, ads all over town. And marketing studies show that actually increases ad response about 10%, which is enormous for a lot of businesses. It's also great to do a timely offer if possible. Coupons are another possibility. You really need to be a little bit cautious when using coupons. They're not always as good as they sound. In some cases, they can actually decrease the response to the ad. So you want to work with somebody knowledgeable in marketing who can guide you through that. Then the last thing I want people to know is that your account rep may sound very, very knowledgeable about the market, about the readership, but in the end of the day, most account reps really are selling you the space. And their advice is not the same as advice from somebody who is trained in marketing. When an account rep tells you, oh, I think you could do this, you know, this ad would look really nice this way. Well, it probably would, but will it work? That's the more important question. Your account rep is not an expert. So rely on them to, you know, show you the magazine, ask them what they can do for you in terms of connections. I've worked on that side of the business, you know, for other publications. So I've experienced that a lot of reps are really well connected and they can help you out with a little networking if you just ask. But don't rely on them to advise you on your ad design.
Great. Well, that's a lot of great stuff. The bit that I know about the marketing that I've been working on or doing on for the last number of years. I've been in business for decades and hadn't really started doing the marketing thing till things started kind of turning around the last few years. And I've hear a lot of people that echo a lot of the stuff that you're saying. Let's see what is the 20-year, you mentioned the 20-year thing. What is the 20-year client and how is pursuing a long-term relationship different from a short-term sale?
Well, and that really follows on the heels of our last question, with the account rep being a person who really sells you the space. From my perspective, as the owner of the magazine, I'm very committed to this community. There's a lot of turnover in the account rep world. It's really different to work with the owner. my commitment to my clients is an entirely different nature. And part of that includes the 20-year clients. Now, I know that not everybody who signs on board with me will renew their ad for various reasons, but that is always my goal when I take on a new client. I can make that commitment to promote their business. My goal is that at the end of the year, all things being equal, that client will continue with me. So the contract is, we offer our best rates for 1 year commitment. But in my mind, that's just the beginning of a relationship that I want to continue for the life of that business. That means that I have certain things that I have to do to make that relationship work. I have to stay in touch with the client. I have to learn about what's changing in their business. I have to look for opportunities for them. In a lot of cases, I'll keep my ears and my ears open for speaking events if appropriate, opportunities to write. I follow, publicists who, when they look for experts, sometimes they'll ping me and I'll look among my clients and see if there's anybody who fits that. So there's just a lot of intangible value that I provide and I think is absolutely essential. And it's part of building a community. And it's the difference between, slapping together a magazine and throwing it out the door and really crafting something that supports the community and my advertisers. And in the end, it's a long-term approach. It takes me more time. It's a bigger investment. And like I said, not all of them will renew and there'll be factors outside my control. But for everything that is within my control, that's my commitment. And that's what I call my 20-year client plan.
Cool. So you're not into that pushy sign on the dotted line right now type of sales.
Well, I think that most people know what they need. When they're talking to me and they're talking about promotion, they have a pretty good idea in mind. My job isn't really to convince them of anything. It is to demonstrate the magazine's capabilities and how that can apply to their business. But at the end of the day, if it's something they want, they'll know it. I don't like to work with people who aren't who don't feel like they need it. So I have the luxury in this position now, owning this magazine as opposed to working for anybody else. I have the luxury of walking away. And if I sense that somebody's ambivalent and they're not ready, well, they're probably not ready. They're not a 20-year client candidate. And I look for people who are those candidates who know they need the advertising, who can afford it, and who want it. And when we have that, all those ingredients together, then there's really not a need for this typical salesy push, just an opportunity to build a relationship.
Great. Well, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back with Ann Dorn and Natural Awakenings, a magazine, and Healthy Homecast.
You are listening to Healthy Homecast.
Gravity connects me to the earth, which connects me to people who connect me to myself more honestly. And gravity connects me to the crust, which connects to the leaves on the trees that make it possible to breathe. With naive mind shield like a helmet, they would tell us that we don't know how we feel or how to connect with other people on the planet. Oh, if we only knew the power in each blue disillusioned little.
Okay, we're back, and once again we're here with Ann Dorn and Natural Awakenings, Seattle Natural Awakenings. We've been talking about mostly about the magazine and the workings of it, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the Healthy Homecast side of things. So what descriptive words do you believe work best with people you communicate with? For instance, in my line of work as a painting contractor, words such as green and eco are fairly commonplace, yet I prefer terms healthy or responsible. How about with you?
I love those choice of words, healthy and responsible. I think a lot of us feel like green and eco are well-used words. They're getting a lot of traction. And I see two sides to that. On one hand, I see the people who are new, to healthy lifestyles, whether that's you referring to their state of their homes or the state of their bodies. And I think that these words can have some value for quickly identifying products and services that are going to help them get where they're going. I think that a level beyond that, it's important to start qualifying what we're saying and not just throw around the green term. And think that all businesses have a responsibility to help educate their customers as to what that means. With one of the best forms of marketing is a happy customer. So when you educate your customers and you leave them with a clear understanding of what you're doing in their homes that is healthy, that person goes out into the world and has a message to carry forth. So I think education is probably the most important part of terminology. These words are kind of useless to us unless we define what they mean, and that is where education is necessary.
Yeah. So I totally agree. That's so. Yeah, I've recently had some thoughts about the podcast and wanting to make a little bit more serious mark on the subjects and the topics, and starting with stuff about the people throwing the green and eco thing around a little irresponsibly is a good place to start. And speaking of responsibility, we are now waking up to the idea that we as a unified whole, not just some of us, have a responsibility to care for this living planet. Many of us have been minimizing or shirking that responsibility, yet it is an inarguable, undeniable fact that waste time to be debated. This is my total opinion about this. We've all happened upon this life in the exact same manner, and every one of us needs the exact same basic things in order to survive. And, you know, I see us all as being equal in all those measures. And, you know, we talk about trying to do a little bit better, and you know, I personally see that as being admirable, but I'm just not sure that a little bit better is going to fix the larger problem. What do you see as the main responsibility we have to ourselves during our lifetime?
Well, that's a great question. I think that our main responsibility is growth. I think that the result of that growth will look like various things for their various people. I'm not sure that everybody has the exact same calling or the exact same pattern of growth, the exact same need to accomplish certain things in their life. But I think that a really key part of learning about ourselves and, you know, growing through this lifetime is learning about our impact on the community around us. And this is where environmental issues come into play. And I agree that there are a lot of areas where doing a little isn't going to do anything. And it's really important to distinguish those areas from others where we can, you know, maybe encourage baby steps. Anything is better than nothing if it leads the person on a journey to finding the piece that will contribute to solving the big problem. So I think that people are doing little things. This is good. They need to do more. Maybe after they do those little things with support, encouragement in the community, they'll be in a better position to learn about other opportunities. So again, kind of two sides. I support the little steps, but I very much encourage opening, you know, collectively opening our eyes and really looking at what's going on and some of the issues that surround us today.
Great. Well, that is my soapbox moment, so I'm not expecting anything. That's great. And Tern, what do you see as our responsibility to all of the other life forms on our planet?
Another great question. I think that we have a responsibility to not take more than the earth can bear, which is really the definition of the word sustainability, which is one of my favorite words. It's also becoming a well-used word in our vocabulary. But that word in particular, I like to bring people back to what that means. It's like a bank account. We have a responsibility to not withdraw more money than is in the account. The earth is the bank. We are the people withdrawing money. To some degree, a lot of these resources are renewable. And if we care for our region, our watershed, our forests, our air, we could live collectively a very long and happy existence on this planet as humans. If we don't, if we overdraw that account chronically and continually, that's not going to be the case. So I really encourage people to understand that's really critical difference. A lot of people feel overwhelmed. I think they look at the what they're being asked to do and they feel like they can never have a trash can again, or they can never, you know, shop at a regular grocery store. They now need to forage in the wild. Well, you know, maybe not every day, maybe one day a week they can go out and take a class on wild mushrooms. Maybe that's their contribution for now. If we all do those things, they will add up. And at the same time, there are other behaviors like we talked about where that probably just simply need to stop. Pharmaceutical drugs in the water supply. They don't ever come out. They're there forever. That's a big problem. I don't have an answer. But I know that we need to really open our eyes and take a look and ask some of these hard questions and still recognize the value of moving people towards them in little steps.
Great. So I know you did, I didn't know you had a child. You have a baby boy or girl or?
Daughter. Daughter. Yeah, and, 4-year-old.
Tony is here with his wife, Jenica, and they have a daughter. And what do you see as our responsibility in ensuring a healthy, safe, and compassionate world for all of those that come after us?
I think our responsibility is first and foremost to ourselves, to our own personal growth. I think not a lot happens on the collective level until we as individuals take responsibility for our knowledge and our actions. I think that once we've kind of embraced that and made that decision to live our lives with integrity, that it's important to give back to the community at that point and to support people in group efforts and collective action. Ultimately, we do have a responsibility to create a more compassionate world and a healthier environment. And I think our society in the last handful of decades has really, really not done so well in some levels. And maybe in others we have. And we need to, going forward, to look at the things we have done well in and do more of that. And I think that for the people who feel overwhelmed by being asked to take any action toward being more environmentally friendly, that's a good message. Say, you know, hey, we have a responsibility here, but look what has gone right and what we are doing well, and then start taking these steps towards eliminating the problem areas and the things that are causing the biggest impact.
And that was a really great answer, too.
I agree.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So you did mention your daughter earlier as being an inspiration around a lot of the thing with the magazine in general. Aside from her, what is one thing that has had the greatest impact on your life and has helped you with your successes?
The greatest impact on my life, I really turn to the people in my life when I think about how I've gotten here. My husband is the wind beneath my wings. I wouldn't. Yeah, we can all break into song now. but quite seriously, I really wouldn't be who I am and wouldn't be where I am today without him. We're a team on many levels, and our business is just one. And so I'm really, really blessed and proud to work with him. So all those warm fuzzies aside, there's been a lot of people. And you know what I wrote in my first letter from the publisher was I wrote about my daughter's when I was pregnant with her. Somebody who I didn't know well at all just posed a question to me very, very much like what you just asked about what is our responsibility toward creating a more, sustainable and compassionate planet. And somebody asked me a very similar question and I didn't have an answer. And that question was a catalyst for the journey that eventually led me to, eat organic and shop at the farmer's market and see the world in a very different way and take responsibility for my growth and for my own impact on the planet and commit to being increasingly more eco-friendly myself. So it's that person who is really almost a total stranger to me, but made such a difference. I think that there's these little moments in our life where sometimes we're ready and we just need a little push. And we never know. We never know who that's going to be. So I really like to just approach life from a position of being grateful to everybody in it, because there are so many little gifts that we bring each other on a daily level. That was a huge one. That turned out to be a major turning point for me.
Great. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, Tony's the wind beneath my wings. If it wasn't for him, I don't think this podcast would actually be going right now. What groups or organizations do you proudly support or are you affiliated with?
I am in a really fun period of learning more about all of the groups in Seattle. And at this point, we are working with a couple, one of which is Sustainable Seattle and the Happiness Initiative. We are helping to get the word out and promote some of their efforts. They have Seattle. They were proud to make Seattle the first city to ratify the Compassion Charter, which is a document that it talks about the importance of a compassionate community as part of overall community health. It's really interesting in the development of, I think, city planning. And usually when you say those words, you don't think of anything very exciting. But in this case, it's an effort for the city to create a healthier and more happier place to live for its residents. And so I'm interested in their results. It's a long-term ongoing study we're helping to support by promoting and running an ad to help people know about the initiative and take it online. And maybe that's a link that you can post. And beyond that, I'm very much impressed with the quality of the groups and the organizations we have here. I love the local food movement in Seattle. There's so much life and vibrancy and groups, you know, ranging from Seattle Tilth to Groundbreakers and beyond. I think that the city is also a huge hub for environmental studies. And, you know, the people coming out of like Bainbridge Graduate Institute are doing amazing things. We also have, you know, just on the grassroots kind of level, a huge, huge interest in sustainable living. And I would point to Green Drinks, which is one of the largest, I believe the largest Green Drinks chapter in the country is here in Seattle. So we've got everything. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, various different areas, movements, and focuses. And then we also have the people on the local level. And I am learning about how everyone fits into the mix and looking forward to growing into this community and meeting more people and learning how we can support them.
Great. Yeah, that's great. So, the Happiness Initiative, I'm not familiar with that one. There's a guy that I really want to get on this podcast. He founded and a school, was it Puget Community School, and he had an online, he runs occasionally once or twice a year, I participate in an online kindness class.
Wow.
And it's like a weekly thing and encouraging you to be kind to yourself and take kind actions towards other people and to, you know, blog about it and everything. And so the Happiness Initiative, I'm looking forward to finding out about that. What is the best way for people to check out what you do or to contact you?
You can find copies of the magazine around town, most locations of Whole Foods, yoga studios, some coffee shops, especially the ones that are more so organic and natural. You can actually email me at an intersection, and I will tell you the nearest place you can pick up a copy of the magazine. The best email address to reach me at is publisher@seattleawakenings.com. And you can also connect on Facebook. I'm Ann Dorn. You can find the magazine Seattle Natural Awakenings on Facebook as well. And Twitter, Seattle NA. I would definitely encourage people to get in touch with story ideas. Like we talked about, I'm very eager to support this community and help get the word out. And so anybody who has an issue or a topic or breaking news that's of interest to the sustainable, holistic, natural lifestyle kind of community here in Seattle, I'd love to hear from those people. Anybody who has an event for our calendar section, it's currently free. We will start charging at some point in the future, but we're not right now. So please, you know, I would encourage people to take advantage of that. We are also interested in, you know, obviously advertisers who feel like they want to reach more people with their message and get more customers in through their door. That's something I can help with on many levels, including the promotions and publicity. That's an intangible kind of behind the scenes benefit. So I would encourage all those groups of people to get in touch.
Great. It's kind of hard to tell. It'd probably be a little bit out before we put up this episode. But do you have any in the future, any events, but any information or specials to offer our listeners that we can post on our site?
I think the best thing I could refer you to is our event calendar. A lot of the specials and the workshops and the classes, the things that people are interested in attending are in there. It's a great resource. We want to build it up further. You could also access that online and read the magazine online as well. And in terms of special offers, I was thinking about giving away a couple copies of the magazine for free.
Great. There was
a joke in that.
Oh.
You didn't get it.
I was like, wait a minute. I did get it at first, but I was like, is there another magazine that I don't know
about? I'm just looking at her smiling and Daryl's over here.
So everybody call in right now that's listening to this episode in the future. Call us right now. We'll send those right out to you, or we'll tell you
it's
where to go.
It's a great deal.
Yeah.
It's a great
free.
Deal.
Perfect. So before we go, do you have any wise advice or helpful hints, last words, or feel that anything was left out that you could please share with us?
I think what I would like the community to know is that we have a responsibility to each other as both consumers and business owners and employees of sustainable and holistic businesses and practices. We have a responsibility to grow this community and to promote it. We can do that by networking with each other, by referring business to people who are mission-driven business owners and have a commitment to making the world a better place. And I want to see people do that. I want to see us support each other because together we can be a powerful force in this community. I think that it's not unrealistic to expect that if we were working together, we could drive consumer demand and in some cases you significantly increase the market share of some of our green industries. And from my perspective, I'm looking at a lot of different industries and practices. They're not all equal. They're not all going to grow equally as well, but it's very important for us to get out of our particular industry and comfort zone and reach out to people who are also making the world a better place in a little different way. Like, for example, kind of the marriage between healthy home building and natural practitioners. That's a very natural connection, and I want to see more of that. It's just so important to support each other so that we can all grow and create more awareness. And with our powers combined, that will make an impact. That will make a huge impact and make Seattle a healthier, greener city for, you know, years, if not generations to come.
Great. That's you're a real delight. Thank you very much to our guests. We've had Ann Dorn, so it would be co-owner, correct, with your husband?
That's correct.
And is it co-publisher? Are you solely the publisher?
I use the title publisher. Okay. I call myself the owner, but I share the glory.
Okay, sharing the glory of Seattle Natural Awakenings Magazine. On behalf of Tony Freiss, Daryl Whalen, and today's guests, we thank you, listeners, for your time here with us today. This has been another episode of Healthy Homecast.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for listening to Healthy Homecast, brought to you by HealthyPainting.com. Please feel free to contact us with any comments, questions, or suggestions for upcoming show topics or guests. Call us at 206-650-4587 or send a direct email to info@healthyhomecast.com. Be sure to check back. New episodes coming soon.
Desert low, smells like rain.